good morning and hello. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. And this is Double M, as every Tuesday from noon to 1 p.m. with my show Do's and Don'ts. In my last show, I complained about the weather because it was cold and rainy, and my complaints must have been heard by now, because now it's so hot that people can actually tan on the lawn, and to be honest, I couldn't be more happier about it. Also, in my last show, I didn't finish my last segment, which was about dating. So I'm going to take off from where I finished last time and continue to share the last half of what to do and what not to do on a date. So I stopped by telling you the rule number 21, and I'm going to take off by telling you the rule number 22. So if you're on a date with a girl, do not curse, even if you're nervous, even if you might do not like. Some people just cuss unnoticeably. They just do it without thinking about it. But try and catch yourself, because once you are not in a relationship with a person, until you don't know him or her well enough, it just doesn't stick. It looks bad. It's bad taste. So don't curse. Rule 23. Don't try and scare them off. Just be honest if you are not interested in them by saying that you don't feel compatible. And that's it. That's that easy, you know. That way you're gonna save your time, and you're gonna also save some time for them. Rule number 24, do not mention your weight, or don't say that you're on a diet. It's annoying, especially from girls. If you're gonna sit there eating beef jerky and whining about how you're on a diet and how you don't like your thighs and how you need a thigh gap, it's gonna be just annoying, believe me. And confidence is a really attractive feature. Everyone likes it. And annoying other people's with your insecurities is not going to make them like you. I'm not saying that if you're trying to keep it healthy and be fit and stuff that you're insecure. Not at all, because I am actually on diet always, pretty much. However, if you mention it on your first date, it might appear in such a light, and the person who are you on a date with might think that you're really insecure about your body, about yourself, and that you need him to tell you that you're actually beautiful and that you don't need to be on a diet. So don't do that. Rule number 25, if you are sick, you should probably cancel the date, because actually I do not go on a lot of dates, but one time when I did, the guy was blowing his nose every 5 seconds, and it was really annoying, and you know, it looks bad in public. Either if you're on a date or just chilling with friends, it's still going to look bad. It's just bad taste, because a table covered with, you know, tissues, it's just not something that you would find pleasant at all. And coughing until your face gets red and you're almost choking is not sexy at all, too. So just reschedule the date if you have a cold or if you're feeling bad, because it saves your health. It's good for you. 26. Do not keep asking your date what they want to do. Do not put them in the driver's seat too much. You know what I mean? You want to hear their opinion, of course, but you should have your own as well. The best balance is like to suggest something and then to compromise together, even if you're talking about the place where you would like to eat. Rule 27, don't overdose on caffeine. Being nervous and hyperactive never looks good on anyone, especially at the same time. And I bet that everyone feels a little bit nervous before any date, any more important meeting. So, you know, it's not meeting, so it's nothing really uncommon or unusual, and people would understand you, but you don't want to scare them off, and you don't want to be jumpy around and, you know, too talkative, which I get, honestly. If I drink more than one coffee a day, I'm just blah, blah, blah. So that is a bad choice before a date. Rule number 28. Leave enough time to easily get home safe. And be sure, if you're the guy, be sure to drive or walk your date back home if she doesn't have the proper transportation. Because it's, even if you don't like her, you're the man, and you should keep anyone, any woman company who is with you safe and, you know, safe and sound. So just do that because of your own manners, not because you like her or not. And that's nothing personal. That's just pure respect. Rule number 29, don't continuously interrupt your date. They might think that you're not really interested, or that you're not really listening to them, and that you only want to talk about yourself. And that is just a downer. So be sure to listen also. After all, you do want to know with who you are having business with. You want to know that person. You want to get to understand them too. You're not the only one to present yourself in a nice light, and that's not the only thing you should do on a date. It's a two-way street, and you are trying to get to know the person. It's okay to ask questions, of course, if it's interrupting, I wouldn't mind personally, but some girls do. And I've heard my friends complaining about guys not letting them finish a sentence, actually, which might have answered the question that they asked while interrupting them. So just to know that. Then rule number 30, don't be a hypocrite. Well, that's, of course, that's anywhere in life, that's bad. Then rule number 31. Don't try and explain your whole dating philosophy or strategy on your first date, but maybe hint at what's to come if you keep seeing each other. Because, you know, it's all about the intrigue, it's all about the mystery, and it's all about the secret. It's actually more interesting when you don't know what to expect and when a person can shock you. Actually, to be completely honest with you, if a person cannot shock me or surprise me in any manner, I'm just not going to be interested in that. Maybe I'm going to grow out this feature or this thing I lack one day, but for now, it's just not interesting if you know what's coming. It's boring, it's, you know, it's steady, and that's not something I bet most of you would be looking for in college. So rule number 33, don't talk about yourself all night. I've already mentioned that, but it's tempting to do so, so I'm going to repeat myself again. Try to shut up once in a while and listen too, because if you're a talkative person, you are going to be tempted to tell them everything about you, to show how awesome you are, what talents you have, what kind of stuff you like to do in your free time, every single part. So leave some of it covered, because as I said, it's more interesting that way. Try not to come across as an aggressive social climber. You know, being aspirational, that's really good. And that's actually that I love it. I love aspirational people who have some kind of, you know, goals in their lives, who can share their knowledge. I just love it. But if you're over paranoid about that, that's not something you want to show, especially on a first date, because high expectations, people who have those, even if that's for themselves, they usually tend to expect more from other people too. And that's nothing but fair, I must admit. But, you know, that's just not something you want to spit to someone else's face on a first date. Don't slag off women or men. Don't categorize people. Don't generalize people. It's not like all the guys are the same, and it's not like all the girls are the same. And believe me, I know that feeling too well, and I've heard that too many times, that, oh, all guys are pigs and all girls are loose, so to say. But that's not true, and we all know it's not true. Bad experiences doesn't mean anything about other people, and they do not deserve to take all that, you know, negativity of ours that we have in ourselves from our past relationships and stuff. They don't deserve to see that or to feel that or to pay for that. So as much as tempting that might be or seem, just try not to do that. Don't say that you're never going to be in a relationship ever again. Even if you think you're not going to, you are on a date and not at some random college party kissing on the couch. So it is more serious than that. And dating is usually, I mean, define a relationship to me. A relationship can be a boyfriend and a girlfriend relationship, or it can be just, you know, meeting occasionally, so to say, relationship, if you know what I mean. It's still some sort of a relationship. And the word itself, relationship, it doesn't mean only boyfriend and a girlfriend. So, you know, it's not really being precise by saying that you're never going to be in one. Because you kind of, if you're dating, I mean, I would call that some sort of relationship, not as a serious one, but some sort of. Rule 38. Don't have a pop at your date because you think they're more educated or more privileged than you. First of all, you might be wrong, because some people are just good BS artists, so to say, and they can play it off real well. They can seem like they're really smart, like they have worldly knowledge in any subject you will ask them of or talk with them about. But that doesn't mean that they are so. A lot of people can just, they're just good at tricking, you know, other people. I am too. Honestly, I pretty much do that all the time, and I don't even notice it anymore. I'm not lying, but I just have this persuasive manner of making people believe what I want them to think. So, and a lot of people do that unconsciously by not even noticing that. We actually learned about that in my psychology class just a couple of days ago. And I thought that was a really good notice, because in everyday life, you just do not recognize that feature in yourself and in others too. So don't try to do that. Then rule number 40. Wow, these numbers are rising fast. You can say that you don't meet people often that you feel a spark with, but don't say that you are closed off to dating. It puts a downer on the evening, and it's, you know, it's just a stop. It's a stop sign and it's a red light and tells you what not to expect. And you feel like you're wasting your time just sitting here and talking with someone who is not going to be up to meet again and again. Because that's kind of the goal of the date, you know, to meet new people, to find common interests and to maintain some sort of relationship. And if you're going to be talking about how you're not down to do that, then I don't see a point, honestly, of you going on a date. Rule 41. Don't whine or moan about relationships, and don't talk about your previous relationships. Don't point out how bad was your ex, because that's a red flag too, and it shows that if you're gonna talk negatively about your ex, you might talk negatively about anyone that was once important to you. And that's actually true, and that's not something that you can change. That's just a type of personality, and that's only my personal opinion, by the way, but I think so. So don't talk about too girly stuff too. Don't talk about nail polishes and periods, because guys are not interested in that. They might nod and wait for you to shut up. And that would be a really gentleman move, but just don't give them a hard time if you can. Rule 43. Try and enjoy your date as much as possible from beginning to end. Even if it seems like it's not going to go well, let's say your date dresses bad. Like, let's say you don't like his style if it's a blind date, or he doesn't smell good or whatever. Try to keep it in a point where you can just laugh about it after that, or not in a mad or not in an angry way, not in a, you know, offensive way, but still try to keep it light, that because you are gonna have to sit there for 40 minutes at least. So be flirty only if you're actually attracted to them. Do not be too sleazy, as if your date is a booty call, unless she or he is. Always keep within the boundaries of making sure that your date feels comfortable and not intimidated by your any sort of behavior, which guys usually tend to do. Rule 45, sorry, I'm getting confused with these numbers. That is the last time I'm numbering this. If you treat your date, I suggest that you do so, because girls usually like that, and it's just how it is. You're just supposed to, kind of. I mean, it should feel like it's your pleasure, not your obligation. If you feel like it's an obligation, don't do that. But believe me, any girl would appreciate you paying, especially as a college student, because we're usually broke. Don't throw an alcoholic shot in your date's eye, because it would make feel your date as if you're too nervous or too bored and you want, you know, your date to become more exciting, and you have to drink alcohol for that. That would be really inappropriate, honestly. Give your date an indication of how formal or informal the location of the date will be, so they know exactly how to dress. This actually once happened to me. I was thinking that we were going to take a walk in a park, and I dressed in a hoodie and jeans and went to this really fancy restaurant, one of those restaurants when you have 20 forks and 15 knives and you don't know what to use and how to use and all those napkins and stuff like that. So I just felt really out of my place. And it was my bad, sort of, because I was the one not to ask and not to make sure about the place. So can't blame the guy, but still be sure to notice, girl, if you're taking her on a date, how to dress. What's the dress code? Rule 48. Try not to talk too much about your previous conquests. Well, that's kind of common knowledge, so I'm not even going to comment on that. I just put it in as a reminder. Don't start moaning about consumerism and fair trade while you're wearing Nikes and snorting Coke. That was probably not a really nice expression, especially on radio, but I think it's true, and I think it's so accurate, because a lot of people, you know, just blame the society, and I don't think that somehow shows your intellect or that your interest in politics or economy or whatever if you are not a part of it. If you're not a appropriately functioning part of society, don't complain about it, because you don't know anything about it, and all your knowledge comes from TV shows and your friends or your parents, who might not know enough about it too. So keep that in mind. Rule 50. Have a few backup comments or questions saved for awkward silences, but don't feel like you have to, you know, fill in the silence every second of your date, because that could turn out to be awkward too. Rule 51. Don't bring your friends. I know this sounds stupid and kind of ridiculous, but it actually might happen. So just saying don't bring your friends unless it's a double date, or, you know, you have to have enough confidence. If you have enough confidence to meet a person blindly at first time, you will have enough confidence to meet him alone. Rule 52, smell nice. Girls love guys who smell nice. Believe me, and it's pheromonic. I could talk about biology for an hour about this, but I'm not going to go there. Rule 53, if you don't like them, then don't see them again and be honest about it, but in a kind way. Don't tell them, yeah, bye, I didn't really like you, so... Or don't lie, don't tell them that you're going to call and not call. I know it's really hard to, but it's better to say nothing than to make your date wait, because, you know, just out of respect. I hope you enjoyed this segment, and I'm going to meet you guys after a short break, and I'm going to talk about California's climate, which is really getting better and better every day, and I'm going to discuss the sun and how it could be healthy or not that healthy. See you after the break.
Yeah.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is DJ Double M, and you're listening to my show Do's and Don'ts on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I'm starting to fall in love with California's climate. To be honest, it's kind of confusing because this kind of weather back in Europe means that the summer vacation is about to come in approximately 2 weeks, and everyone has no more jobs to do, no more stuff, no more studying. And weirdly enough, it hasn't been distracting so far at all. I love laying on the lawn and doing homework when it's so warm and nice. So I just can't shut up about that. However, at college, we do not have our moms anymore who would irritatingly and continuously complain about you not wearing sunscreen or even embarrass you in front of your group of friends by simply rubbing it onto your nose themselves. I'll agree, this is really annoying. This might be really annoying. But we have to admit that our parents usually do know more things than we do. And I think that knowing a little bit more about sun and its effects might be healthy to all of us, and especially to girls who like to tan like I do. So, hundreds of skin cancer studies have made it clear that the sun can kill. Yet, there is something unavoidably attractive about sunshine. Why is it so beloved? Well, to be fair, it is healthy and even needed. The body manufactures vitamin D when bathed in sun rays. And the nutrient strengthens muscles and bones, decreases the risk of getting eternal cancers, diabetes, and multiple sclerosis. So, this is actually good. It even decreases the chances to get tuberculosis, and it even kills it. So sunshine is healthy to us. And this can be really confusing because after reading this, you just want to kind of go out, lay on the lawn, and, you know, and sunbathe for 5 hours. Having high amounts of vitamin D seems to help you get rid of depression. Sunshine gives you happiness, and it's based on biological experiments, and scientists have proved this long time ago. And I think I've already spoken about this in one of my shows. It also gives tans, and tans make you feel more beautiful, more confident, and to look better in bright colors. So we all know that. Tans became popular in the 1920s, said Maxim Craig, a professor in the Women and Gender Studies program at UC Davis. The tan had new meaning. It meant leisure. It meant health, she said. But it wasn't the golden brown color that attracted people, she emphasized. It was the process. The word tan means light skin that becomes dark through leisure activity, for example, playing volleyball on the beach. So the notion of a tan is really whiteness. It's still whiteness that is the beauty standard, even if we say tan. And the media bombard everyone with this ideal, which makes people feel the need to meet it, even myself. I mean, the summer is coming and I don't want to be the only really, really, really white girl on the beach, so this is exactly why I did this research in the first place, honestly. Patricia Krenzel, the New Jersey mom who is so overly tanned, she's spanned a new disorder called tanorexia, which is actually a thing now, was charged with child endangerment for making her six-year-old tan and burn. And she pleaded not guilty. This is kind of unbelievable, but that's an actual real story. And the public burned her right back with odd lists of internet jokes and even an action figure. So, you know, people do understand that's kind of crazy, but it doesn't help, apparently. That's because the public doesn't condone excess, said Craig. But the beauty standard persists that even after people tan, they feel good about themselves only if they are appreciated by those around them, and they usually are. So when summer rolls around, people unfurl their swimsuits and head out to the beaches. But it's important to remember that too much of sun can cause skin cancer. It's all a matter of balance, said Dr. Emil Taghethi, head of Sacramento Center for Dermatology and Laser Surgery. And it can be hard to find the balance, actually, because, you know, the standards are crazy, and we all know the popular saying that beauty requires sacrifice, and it's actually true. And it's kind of sad to what edges people might go just to meet the standards. So I decided to make a segment on sun do's and don'ts, or tanning do's and don'ts. So I'm going to start off by a positive phrase. Do get sun. It's the most efficient and effective way to get vitamin D. So it's good to stay in sun for a while, not for too long though, and I'm going to tell you why. Don't burn. The sun is strongest between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., so it's prudent to be especially vigilant during these hours. because everyone's skin type is different. And if you're whiter, you might get burnt, you might look red, and that's not sexy, that's not beautiful, you know, and that's not considered beautiful. So according to your skin, you should adjust the time to tan. Fair skin types burn much faster, and darker skin types are, you know, more tolerable to sun. So age also matters. The body, as older it is, as longer time it takes to repair cells that are damaged by sun rays. So you must know that. You have to protect yourself much more when you're older, Tagetti said. Do wear sunscreen, and not just any sunscreen. Any sunscreen can be bad because they usually have chemicals inside of them, and it can actually, you know, cause allergies and things like that, unpleasant feelings for itchiness, rashes, and stuff like that. So it's much better to use natural sunscreens. And people usually tend not to like them because they leave these white spots on your skin that's hard to rub in. But now they do have some of them in oily liquid thing that has no color, so it's really better for that. And you can put those on babies, on newborns, while you can't put chemical sunscreens on until they're 6 months old. Don't think that you are protected under an umbrella or indoors if you're near a window. UV rays can penetrate glass, which explains why drivers, if you have seen that, are tanner on their left side usually. The rays also bounce like ping pong balls, and this is really interesting. I don't think I've known this before reading this. So they bounce off water and sand, and they will even bounce off other people who are wet. So even if you're hiding under an umbrella, you still can get tanned. If you're out on the beach, you know, just lying there and trying to read something, you still get tanned, and you might notice it if you're one of those people who just go there to read and keep company to your tan obsessive friends. Do diligently follow sunscreen reapplication. Before you need to put it on before you leave the house, and every time after you are in the water. Be generous and don't worry about the thickness. Repeat it, especially after being bathed in sweat or water. Sweat counts as a bath too, apparently. Don't obsess over the lack of tan. Even with proper application of sunscreen, some natural tanning will occur, especially for outdoorsy people. If you're one of those people who like riding bikes, who are outside a lot, you know, you can't really avoid getting tanned. And tan is good. I don't see anything bad about this, but you have to protect your skin. And after this, after I discuss this, I will tell you why tan can be really damaging and explain how it works. And I thought that was really interesting. So listen up. Don't go crazy covering up. It's summer after all, and it's hot. You could wear a, you know, wide-brimmed hat and clothes that are best protected when they are light and covering enough, but still not. It doesn't make you hot, if you know what I mean. I'm talking about those blouses, cover-ups, light clothing and stuff. They're always in season. They're always in trend, so it's a good choice. Don't assume that tanning beds are safer than natural sunlight. Natural sunlight is good for you. As I said, it gives you vitamin D, it makes you happier, makes you feel better, but you just don't have to overdose it. Understand how tanning works. So I'm coming to the part I was talking about earlier. Tanning is the process of cells in your skin protecting you from harmful UVA or UVB rays that come from the sun, not simply a pretty glow you get in the summertime. So UVA and UVB rays are a type of radiation linked to cancer. Prolonged exposure can greatly increase the likelihood of cancerous cells growing in your skin. A tan works as a shield from radiation. Imagine thousands of tiny umbrellas in your skin. They open more the more they are exposed to the sun, which in turn makes your skin look darker. So it's actually, a tan does not cause cancer or damage, but is rather the visible evidence that damage to your skin cells has already occurred. Because you wouldn't get tanned if your skin would be okay with the sun. So basically, if you get a little bit tan, that means that you are a little bit damaged by the sun. Sunscreen is a product that allows some UV rays to penetrate to the skin surface, which gives you the ability to get a slight tan, but not too big of a tan. Use 2 to 3 tablespoons of sunscreen, that is the proper amount, or sunblock on your entire body, concentrating on the areas most in contact with the sun, which are usually shoulders, nose, face, around your nose, arms, and backs. And remember that sunscreen and sunblock must be reapplied every 2 hours or after entering water. That way your skin is not going to peel off too, because it's going to be moisturized well enough. Use a tanning oil to help accelerate the tanning process. Tanning oils contain certain chemicals that intensify UV rays, which darkens your skin faster. So it's good. It protects too. So it's okay. Just check the label on the back of it and make sure it's natural, because chemical stuff cannot be good for you possibly in any situation. The purpose of tanning oil is not to block out sun like sunscreen, but to concentrate the radiation from the sun to expedite the shielding process on your skin. Use a self-tanner. These are lotions, creams, and sprays that dye your skin to give the illusion of tan. Sunless tanners use a chemical called dihydroacetone, which dyes the dead skin cells on your body, and this means that it is only temporary, as it will last until you wash off your dead body cells. But it's actually healthier and better, and it does have an instant effect. If, for example, you have to look browner or more tan for some kind of occasion or event. For an even tan, use an exfoliant to rub off dead skin cells prior to applying your sunless tanner. Or you can use any scrub, actually. Any bath scrub that you're using, just rub it off. Or one of my friends, actually, she used to use coffee and salt for that, for a scrub. And it's a natural thing, and it was really good and worked really well. She was really satisfied with it. Her skin was really soft after. So you could try using that. It's just a simple mixture. Give your body an all-over even coating to avoid streaks or spots of color, because that never looks good. And be sure, take your time to rub it in. Take your time to rub it in all over your body, and don't miss the confusing parts on your back. Self-tanners may not contain sunscreen. You can still get skin damage with sunless tanner if you spend prolonged periods of time outdoors. If you use the thing, it's not going to protect you from actual rays. So be sure to apply a sunscreen in addition to your self-tanner to keep your skin healthy if you're going to be outdoors a lot. Be sure the self-tanner you choose does not require time in the sun in addition to the lotion. Be sure to read everything that the label says. Avoid tanning pills. I didn't even know that those exist, honestly. These contain a chemical dye that over time can turn your skin orange and damage your liver. No wonder. I have no doubts about that, because, I mean, it must be really contagious if it makes your body brown from inside out. Literally saying that. Maintain your tan. Apply lotion regularly to reduce the number of dead skin cells you shed and increase the longevity of your tan this way. So always be sure to keep your skin moisturized, not only before tanning, but also after it. Be wary of tanning beds. They may not use real sunlight, but they still expose you to UV rays that can cause skin damage. And actually, they can cause a lot more damage than you might think they would. And I am going to discuss this in my next segment after a 5-minute break. Meet you then, guys.
Can't believe you're packing your bags, trying so hard not to cry. Had the best time, and now it's the worst time, but we have to say goodbye. Don't promise that you're gonna ride, don't promise that you'll call. Just promise that you won't forget we had it all. To hide, make the last time just like the first time. Push your button and rewind. Don't say the word that's on your lips. Don't look at me that way. Just promise you'll remember when the sky is gray.
over. Feels like snow in September, but I always will remember.
Some song right there. Sorry to interrupt that. That was so beautiful and so emotional. Actually, I was sitting here in the studio and thinking, I was just remembering one of my summer loves, and it just made me feel sad and happy at the same time. I guess those never go away, and you will always have those memories inside of you. It's weird how especially summer loves have that feature to always stick to your mind for the rest of your lives, probably. So, okay, let's stick to the topic. I am DJ Double M, and you're listening to my show Do's and Don'ts on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Currently, it's 12 hours and 37 minutes in San Rafael. It's a really nice warm day, which I cannot stop talking about. And I'm discussing tanning effects right now, and I just got over my one segment, which was about tanning outdoors, and I'm moving on to talking about indoor tanning, which can actually be really more damaging and really, it's really dangerous. I didn't even know about that before reading this, and I'm glad I did, because when tan is such a thing of trend, and when girls want to be all glowing gold brown color, it's really hard to, you know, to realize how damaging tan can be. So let me discuss the lies that you hear in a tanning salon. If you've ever set a foot in a tanning bed salon, you've heard the hard sell. They push tan accelerators costing up to $90 a pop, a package of tans so your glow doesn't go, and the promise that tanning beds are a smarter choice than baking out at the beach. And apparently you don't have to be a dummy to be sold. Nearly 30 million Americans a year tan indoors, allowing the industry to pull in and whopping $5 billion per annum in revenue, according to the Skin Cancer Foundation. That's a lot of billing customers allowing a business to knowingly and quite happily damage their skin, says the website www.totalbeauty.com. So what happened to the idea that the beauty industry now is promoting youth and health? Spending time in a tanning bed practically guarantees you'll eventually will deal with skin problems like photo damage, brown spots, fine lines, and wrinkles. Oh, and hey, perhaps you've heard about this thing called melanoma, another not-so-lovely side effect of your tanning habit. Yes, that's the deadly skin cancer that can spread throughout your entire body and eventually kill you. Dead. Poof. So why do Americans and people all around the globe continue to put themselves in danger while being fully aware of it and of its consequences? So let me share with you guys 9 secrets these tanning salons are keeping from us in order to keep the business going. Anna Jimenez shares 9 things that tanning salons don't want us to know. A disorder that means a tanned person never feels like they are actually tanned enough is a real issue. I've mentioned that earlier in my previous segment, and this is tanorexia. In a study published in Archives of Dermatology, behavioral scientists found that a subgroup of college students who tanned indoors showed telltale signs of substance-related disorder, meaning they were hooked on tanning, the same way people are addicted to drugs and alcohol. And this is kind of scary. That's the beauty cult, I guess. These frequent tanners, or tanorexics, were also more likely to report moderate to severe symptoms of anxiety and depression than their peers who were not addicted to tanning or did not tan at all, says Time magazine. All of the addicted students polled knew that they could develop skin cancer from using tanning beds, but 98% said that the risk wasn't something that prevented them from wanting to tan more. "We didn't turn people away," says former tanning salon associate Carrillo. "So a person could come in and tan in a bed every day if they wanted to. We would try and discourage people if they were already burnt, as burnt skin doesn't tan, but some would still tan, which I thought was crazy," she says. "Sometimes we would have people sign waivers for liability if they wanted to do something that we didn't agree with, like tan for the max amount of time for the first time they tanned," she said. "But no one is ever flat out denied despite safety rules. So that is kind of weird. I mean, people know the risks. They just do not quite acknowledge them, I guess. And despite the fact that the ultraviolet radiation emitted during a tanning bed session is a proven human carcinogen, the FDI lists tanning beds in the lowest of the three regular classes for medical devices, class one. That means currently beds are given the same regulation as elastic bandages and tongue depressors, says the Skin Cancer Foundation. And that is really scary. I would have never thought that this such a thing would actually be a thing and would actually exist. So basically, tan at your own very high risk. For the most part, tanning salon employees work on commission, meaning that more tans and lotions they sell, the more they get paid and the better the business is going. So they're trying to sell the most expensive and accelerating lotions, the highest UV intensity beds, which, by the way, are they cost more than lower intensity beds, and multi-tan packages. So customers are more motivated to tan more often, says Carrillo. Also, when people would want to spray tan, they would probably recommend you to get a base tan first from the bed so it looks more natural. And that is just another way of increase their business and to keep it going. Don't listen to them when at the tanning salon they will tell you that a light complexion person should tan indoors before going on a vacation or on a trip, because the darker they are, the less likely they will be to burn in the sun. This is totally false, according to Dr. Bank. While one might be less likely to burn in the sun if they are naturally a darker complexion, like Middle Eastern, Hispanic, and blacks, someone that has natural light skin can still burn no matter how many times they've burned before or laid in a tanning bed before going on a trip. "It's sales tactics," says Carrillo. "Only sunscreen will help you not burn," she says. And she admits that, and it's kind of amazing how someone who works for a tanning salon admits that. "But it worked to sell tanning sessions," she continues. So isn't that funny? I mean, you would never think about that kind of stuff before going to an actual tanning salon. It seems really safe. It seems healthy and even good for you. And some doctors even suggest that to reduce your acne. Even though the International Agency for Research on Cancer, an affiliate of the World Health Organization, includes the UV radiation from tanning beds as one of the most dangerous cancer-causing substances, next to cigarettes and plutonium, there is no federal regulation banning children under the age of 18 from using the beds. It's true that they have to go to their parents and ask for them to tell or give some kind of written evidence that they are okay with their son or daughter tanning indoors from the age of 14 to 18. But it's still legal. It's legal. If your parents are okay with that, you can go and tan. So why can children under 18 tan? Part of the problem is that this country is driven by dollars, and the tanning parlor industry has deep pockets to contribute the legislators who vote against bills that would ban minors, says Dr. Bank. And this is just about business. All this is about business. By the way, by saying this to you guys, I am actually leaving out the most scary part, which is that you can get various diseases at the tanning beds. Because the workers at tanning salons have mentioned that they could find pee, sweat, and salmon after people would leave. "It can get pretty gross in those lay-down beds," says Carrillo. "People would leave and there would be pools of sweat on the bed. I always clean the beds well, but some girls weren't as diligent. They would use the same cleaning rags, customer after customer," she says. "And after this, my whole desire to tan and to get brown just disappeared." it's not there anymore. I don't want to go there anymore, because every time you lay down, you do not know what kind of germs, what kind of diseases, what kind of bacteria you're literally leaning on right now. So that is just bad for you. And melanoma is a real thing. So I would recommend, if you really need to tan fast, use spray tan. That is what all the doctors says. That's what my research proved while reading about it for a couple of days. So spray tan is the safest way to get tanned and the fastest way to get tanned too. And if you cannot do that, or if you want a longer lasting tan, then do not go to a tanning bed salon. Choose outdoor tanning, but the only thing you really have to do is to use sunscreen. Then some of the questions that people ask on the internet about this tanning thing is, can I use outdoor tanning lotions on the tanning beds? No, many outdoor tanning products contain ingredients which will discolor the acrylic surface, and due to that, you're not going to actually get tanned. So only use the moisturizing lotions for their purpose. Read the back of them and make sure that they're meant to serve your outdoor tanning or your indoor tanning, but not both. Someone asked, will I be tan after the first session? And the answer is no. So if, as I said, if you really need to get a rapid tan, and if you need it fast for the evening, let's say, do not choose the tanning bed salon, because it will not work. Your body needs to kind of adjust to the tanning sessions, and it might take you 3 to 6 sessions to even see any effect on your skin. So keep that in mind. You can stay in a tanning bed as long as the workers in the tanning bed salon tells you to, if they do your skin type analysis to determine your individual skin type, because that is what they were supposed to do, and that is legal, and you have every right to ask for that if you go to a tanning bed salon. So make sure you do the test and make sure you listen to them, because otherwise you're going to increase your cancer risks by 75% if you're under 30s. And I believe you are if you're listening to the show, so that kind of makes sense. Then, can tanning beds cook your internal organs? When I read this question, it seemed really funny to me, but actually I remembered how my mom, when I was a little kid, and I had that obsession kind of, well, not such a little kid, actually, I was like 14, and I had that obsession, I wanted to be tanned, because that was the thing back in Europe then. Yes, we started from a young age, and I know that's weird for Americans, but that's just how it is. So she told me the story that one lady went from tanning salon to tanning salon, and she got so tanned that she actually cooked her internal organs. And the story went like, she came back from a tanning salon home, and there was this awful smell, and her husband asked her, what is wrong with you? And she didn't know that, so she showered, and the smell didn't go away, and it kept there for a couple of days. And then she was at a doctor, and he told her that she's about to die because she cooked her internal organs. So after reading this question, I just remember that. Then it sounded really, really bad and really scary, and it actually reduced my wish of getting tanned for that week, approximately. But now it sounds ridiculous. No, it's not true. This question is usually asked due to the urban legend about a woman who cooked her insides. That's what I read on the internet. That's quoting. From tanning at multiple locations. So actually, this story was a widespread thing. Often the legend is also accompanied with the idea that tanning light is the same thing as microwaves. This in fact is not the case. UVA with your average tanning bed penetrates about 2 millimeters deep, about the thickness of a cardboard, that is, into the body. UVA penetrates deeper than UVB. But even if ultraviolet light could reach your internal organs, it doesn't work like microwaves do. So imagine that you want to heat up a slice of pizza, put it into the tanning salon or tanning bed unit for 30 minutes. What's going to happen? Maybe it would get a little bit warm from the heat or of the lamps, but that's it. It's not going to burn. It's not going to, you know, it's not going to melt even. Now take that for 30 minutes in a microwave. The pizza's going to disappear. It's going to be ashes instead of that. So that is just a proof. That is a simple experiment. And after this small break that we're about to go on, I'm going to talk about several detoxification methods before the summer that I'm actually trying out myself. So I think that's going to be interesting, and I'm glad you guys are sticking with me. See you after the break. Hope your time to a life is
bunch of freaks delight.
Wearing the tightest jeans and shortest skirt, you think you're cold chilling, looking like a jerk. No matter what you do, come out second rate.
Thinking you're on time, but you're already late. You're blind.
You're blind, and you can't see.
You need to wear some glasses
like DMC.
I did mention it's going to be a short break, so welcome back. I hope you missed me. I'm DJ Double M, and this is my show Do's and Don'ts. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, and this is our last segment. After this, we get to go outside and tan safely and to date safely too. That is what I talked about in my previous segments. So now I'm going to talk about detox. About detoxification before the summer, and I think that is, I personally do that every year. I think that's something that everyone should try because it makes you feel so much better inside out, and it also makes you to lose some weight if that's what you're looking for. So how to detox your body and soul before summer season, go healthier and at the same time lose some belly fat? You're going to get to know this in a second. So detox defined definition is kind of a complicated thing because a lot of people think that it's associated with alcohol, drug, or substance abuse, or, you know, any cigarette smoke abuse and stuff like that. Or other people consider it to be just a diet detox. However, beyond this popular belief, detoxification is also a process aiming to eliminate all the negative effects on your body from the environment, such as industrial chemicals, pesticides, additives in our food, secondary smoke, pollutants or pollution, or heavy metals. Nowadays, internal detoxification is adopted by healthy individuals to keep their body systems in pristine condition, so to say. So detoxification refers mainly to the removal of toxic substances and cleansing of the kidneys and colon, as these are organs involved in the detoxification of chemicals and toxins from the body. That is probably something you've heard since you're a college student. So I'm going to talk about a couple of really simple methods of detoxification. So the principle is, if you've never heard of it already, the principle is you take 1 week, you pick a week. Not the finals week, though, because it's going to be really stressful and you do need to have a lot of energy. Pick a week when your schedule is not that busy and try to reduce the junk food that you eat in whole. Cut out the chocolate, cut out the coffee, cut out the coffee with the cream, everything that has too much sugar. Cut out the carbs like pasta and bread. And just eat really healthy, unprocessed food for a week. Actually, some people like to go to extremes, and they claim that it's really good, that they feel really good, that they lose a lot of weight, and that they are not tired at all. And actually, this is a lot of doctors say this to be a good choice, a good decision to make, and a good thing to try, because you do not continue doing that. It's not a starvation diet, because you only do that for a couple of days. So let's say you choose to do the juice cleanse, which is based on all juice all the time. You do not eat anything, you just juice. You have to juice. You buy a juicer and you mix vegetables with various greens, with various fruits, and then you just drink it. So you get your vitamins daily. This is a better solution than coffee in any situation, even if you're not going to only survive off of juice. It's really good for your body. So the doctors usually say, they have positive opinion on this, and they usually say that it's good, that it boosts your energy levels and reduces risks of various diseases, and especially if you do that like for 2 to 3 days, and that's not going to harm your body by any chance, because juice is just, it's not water. It actually contains a lot of vitamins and a lot of stuff like that that your body needs daily. So then there is the vegetable fast. More nutritious than surgery juice fast, the IZO Cleans organic vegetable juice diet is a hush-hush favorite among lean beauties like Adriana Lima, Natasha Henstridge, and many more famous beautiful people. The service, it's pretty much based on the principle of not eating anything cooked or anything baked. Even grilled is bad for you. You just eat everything green. And it's really easy. You just, I don't know, you eat a cucumber, you eat a celery, you can use almond milk, you can use any fibrous green vegetables, kale and celery, you can make cocktails out of them. You can use the same mixer that you used for your, let's say, juice diet before that to make it. And it's a really fast way to lose weight, and it's actually healthy, and you're not going to lack any vitamins, and that means you're going to be energetic and in a good mood for every day, all day. And this diet is meant to last for 7 days. So some of the foods you should also consider eating if you're up to do the 7-day diet is fresh or frozen fruits, unsweetened natural juice, dried fruit, unsweetened, of course, in limited amounts, not too much. For example, cranberries, dates, raisins, goji berries, and stuff like that. Vegetables are always good. Vegetables thought to be particularly good detox foods, such as broccoli, cauliflower, broccoli sprouts, onions, garlic, artichokes, beets, and dark leafy greens such as kale, as already mentioned, collard greens, and Swiss chard. So this is pretty much everything that your mom made you eat when you didn't want to when you were a kid and whining about that. Split yellow and green peas are also good. Lentils are really good for you. They contain a lot of nutritionally good stuff inside of them, and you can get them anywhere at any shopping place, including Trader Joe's, which is like 2 steps from Dominican, practically. Adzuki beans are good for you. Almonds, walnuts, chai seeds, avocado, coconut oil instead of sunflower oil. These are the good solutions. If you are willing to check out the entire list, because I'm not reading it right now because it might get boring, go to about.com and type detox diet into the search, and they will give you a list of foods and also how to cook them, how to make the food actually tasty, how to prepare it properly, you know, what to use, what to do, and the full list of this. They will provide you with that. And the combinations also, which is actually really important in order to stick to any diet. You always have to know the proportion of protein, carbohydrates, and stuff like that in your food in order to lose, even if just a pound. So I'm going to finish by telling you the foods that you would have to avoid if choosing this detox method. Avoid cheese, sour cream, bread, artificial sweeteners, tofu, and anything that's related to soy. Coffee is also bad for you, but not because of gaining weight, rather because the caffeine inside of it. An overdosage of caffeine is never good. So, as I said, I will not be able to finish this and to read the entire list for you guys. But if you are willing to check this out, and honestly, I think that's a really good site. Try about.com, and they will give you a sample menu plan and everything needed for a really effective and pleasure experience while detoxificating your body. So I hope you're going to meet me next Tuesday from noon to 1 p.m. And I'm about to say goodbye to you guys. Was really nice being here. Have a great afternoon and tan safely. Bye-bye.